What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Gym Floor. We have special guests, Jess and Loz, in the house, obviously friends of the show. We didn't think Jess was coming, so we made sure we had coverage for him, and he's here. So there's four of us on the episode today. It's really interesting chat. We started off attacking a bunch of business coaches, not really, and just going through like the criteria that we would have for hiring a coach and what you should look for from a business coach slash mentor, and the traps that people may or may not fall in based on the current market of what that looks like. Then we jumped into just a few concepts around creating content and how you might be able to just personalize your content a little bit more, make it a little bit more interesting. I know a lot of people are finding it really hard with reach, engagement, and growth right now. We delve into that and had an interesting chat about some ways that you might be able to do that. Don't forget, as always, to subscribe to the podcast. Really helps get this out, and obviously reminds you when awesome episodes come out and you see the topics and you're going to want to listen. Lastly, we still have available, they might be in scarce supply right now, but go check it out. You can, when you apply for the Standout PT course, you get a 45-minute business coaching call with me where we look at your biggest issue in your business and try and solve it right there and then. If I do a good job, then we talk about Standout PT. If I fail, then you don't even have to hear the offer. So jump on the website, check out the Standout PT page at stcfit.com. You'll be able to find it and apply for that. That is all. Enjoy the episode and we'll see you next time.
It's very moody. Feels like a campfire chat.
It's very moody.
Yeah. It's much nicer on my eyes.
We should do a campfire chat episode.
Campfire, we can do that.
Yeah. Like a Friday night and we'll make these vodkas.
Yeah. Oops. We did joke. Have you got any good scary stories? We did joke about doing
do a drinking episode.
A Rogan episode. Yeah. With,
yes.
Yeah.
I'm so down.
I'm already, yes.
Yes.
It'd be fun.
We could easily talk shit for like 3 hours.
Yeah, especially if you add substances into
100%.
No, you guys guys don't need that.
Alcohol.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Jace goes quiet.
When I drink?
No.
Fuck off.
Not when you're drinking.
No chance. Well,
when the Joe Rogans come out.
We listen to the...
Fuck them, Tam. They didn't reply to me.
What's that?
Padre.
The Padre.
Ben's, the coffee.
They ignored my DM.
Ben's trying to be a pick me and really get noticed by Padre.
Yeah, which I've been trying to get sponsorship by just talking about them and just assuming that they'll see it.
Yeah. Cool.
And then I tagged them on my story and they replied and shared my story for their own marketing.
Yeah.
So then I sent them the two YouTube clips of us talking about their product.
Yeah.
They didn't even open it.
Rude.
Yeah, fuck them. Not going to review your coffee.
Are you still going to drink it?
It's delicious, though.
It is really good.
What are we working with, though?
This is a really
It's
nice
too much word.
Too much word.
Are we guessing what it is?
Too much word.
No, you only have to read three.
Yeah.
Every single one.
Too much word.
Yeah. Blackcurrant, blackberries.
Indonesia.
Cacao and lemon.
I'm a big cacao fan.
Yeah.
I'm a big coffee fan.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
I like the beans.
Yeah.
Coffee beans.
Yeah.
My favorite.
I'm a big Vietnamese coffee fan also. Does add to my week.
Will you guys drink instant coffee?
I'm just like the furthest thing away from a coffee snob there is.
So you'll do the international roast?
Yeah.
Double teaspoon.
I'm staying with mum and dad at the moment. Like dad's making coffee in the morning. And yesterday he was like, so how was yesterday's coffee? I was like, Dad, I don't know. It was caffeine and it was good. Like, I don't have thoughts.
I'll have instant coffee for sure. I'd rather have caffeine than not have it.
Mm.
But then if I go somewhere and it's bad because I have it iced, it's very evident when they fuck up a coffee or the flavor is like very evident in an iced coffee. Like, I will be a coffee snob.
Do I have shit beans? If you have shit beans in your
iced coffee just tastes like tar.
Yeah.
But I'll drink anything.
We don't own instant coffee in our home.
I haven't bought instant coffee since I was...
Sometimes, like, Steph's parents come home and they're like, is it okay if we have a coffee? Because they, like, don't care for coffee.
Yeah.
And then they know that, like, I have, like, all these beans and shit. I'm just like,
it's
my love language.
This brings me joy.
And that filth is not going to be sitting in the cupboard waiting for you.
Yeah.
That instant trash.
And Loz and I, like... just injected into our
Yeah.
That's what pre-workout's for, though.
Loz really offends me when she has coffee in my house, if I'm honest.
So it's pretty...
Why?
You gotta have...
So I have my espresso machine set up to make short blacks.
Yeah.
So it's like an extra shot of water.
Yeah.
And Loz is like, can I have some more hot water?
Yeah.
So she goes from just the short black that kind of tastes like coffee that's just like now watered down coffee. It really hurts my feelings.
Oh. I mean, I just, it's cool. I like
because it's
going
to be a long
it.
Black. It has to have two shots in it at least.
Mm. Well, then maybe we needed to do two short blacks and then I'll add water.
Does yours have the double shot Scooby thing you put in it?
It does.
Yeah.
But like I would have to change that to it's just to make
you're like, I'll make
coffee.
You a coffee, but I'm not happy about it.
Correct.
Every morning.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There you go.
And I like,
and heavy
like,
coffee and your
and
fish
like,
heads.
Can I have some, can I have some honey? He's like, fuck's sake, like you're just ruining it.
Yeah, low key, I'm on the honey train.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, every morning now.
Knock it till you try it.
Yeah. No. It's supposed to be good for your hay fever as well, and I haven't had hay fever since I started doing it.
Wow.
But
it's also,
I don't know if that was seasonal.
But it's also not pollen.
I was just about to say.
Yeah. I don't know if that was seasonal, but it tastes pretty
good. It's also April.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the started in November, but I think we're already past the window.
Absolutely.
That's summer. Yes.
When were you here? Yeah, that was November. Yeah. I bought that honey.
Yeah.
Try it in September.
Well, I'm giving myself a whole year.
You're building,
building up that immunity.
Building it up. I could not. No, I am just like Vietnamese coffee, like condensed milk in coffee is the only thing I'll add in my coffee.
Mm.
Black coffee is the only way to drink coffee.
Yeah. You had me doubting sweetness. Myself about my sugar in my Long Mac after the last episode.
Oh, yeah?
Because you were like, oh, so you still have the same amount of sugar. And I was like, oh, fuck, well, am I not supposed to? So then I only had half, like a little bit. And I was like,
no, I just lulled at that. I just lulled at the fact that the serum
the volume
is less. Right? Yeah. But you still had the same amount of sugar.
Yeah, because still the same amount of sweetness required.
Yeah.
Because
the milk, doesn't change
the bitterness.
Anything. The milk doesn't change
Yeah, but
anything.
There's still less volume in the cup. So that means that the sugar ratio is going to be higher.
Yeah, look, I have a little less.
Yeah. But I just lolled at it. I just thought it was funny.
I went
I just
too
think
much,
it's funny.
Like, I went too much less because I was like,
I'm having a macchiato.
Jason.
It's super sweet.
Jason fucking judged me, so I'm going to have less sugar.
I'll never judge you for sweetness. I had three sweeteners to my coffee.
Good no, goal. No, I wrecked the sweetener.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I'm going. I took 10 years off my lifespan with sweetener.
Pet peeve is when I go to a cafe and I'm like, oh, can I add, you know, three sweeteners? And they're like, oh, we don't have sweetener, but we have honey. I'm like, you don't understand what the goal is here.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's no calories.
Yeah, I don't like if you don't have sweetener, that cafe's dead to me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fuck you off. Don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, like sometimes because Steph has to have like lactose-free milk, so I'm like, do you have lactose-free milk? They're like, no. I'm like,
it's 2024, sir.
What happens with all the other people who shit themselves if they drink coffee, drink
have
milk?
Oat
yeah.
milk?
Yeah, and they're like, oh,
oat
we've got.
Trash.
They're like, oh, we've got soy milk. I'm like, no,
no,
no. There's milk out there that exists that has no lactose in it,
and it tastes like normal. Yeah.
We
milk.
Solved Look, this problem.
Go and fucking buy it.
I know Zimmel's $3 a liter, but fucking get some.
I'll pay for it. I'll pay the extra.
Yeah. Well,
it's
you
like
have
75
to anyway.
Cents more. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
They make it back and some.
Zim will get you.
You know,
you remember how
Zim
I,
gets
remember
you.
How I was not looking at the price of lettuce and shit? Fucking Zim will gets me.
Yeah,
so we have to drink lactose free in our house for my wife.
Yeah, okay.
And $6 for 2 liters.
Yeah,
I'm looking at like light milk. I'm like, can't we just get that one?
Pretty fortunate. Like, my digestive system's optimal.
I'm okay with it too.
Dairy.
My wife not so much.
Yeah, it sucks for you.
Yeah.
This is totally off topic, but it's very funny. So
that topic was starting to be
my new toxic trait is actually is watching reading the residence page on Facebook.
Oh, don't do that to yourself.
Nah, nah. I fucking love it. Yeah. It's
reading
so,
the what?
The residence page. So there's like a group of everyone
who
lives.
You don't know what a residence page is? Oh my God.
Yeah, so when you live in an area, you join the residence page.
Right.
And I only join it.
Is this an old people thing?
No, no, no. I join it for fun.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
well,
a Facebook thing.
Absolutely.
So
it's so good. So... So all it is a bunch of people complaining about shit.
It's where
other
all
people,
the Karens live.
Yeah.
My friend used to just roast people.
So that's, I go in there just to read those comments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And watch the other people get upset. So like this dude, like, I don't know, he obviously was just having a bad day. And he got upset about the fact that like last weekend was public holiday every day. And he's just like, I don't know when it happened, but why is Sunday or Saturday a public holiday? And then someone was like, if you've been alive for the last 40 years, like it's been a public holiday every week, every year.
Yeah.
And then someone like screenshotted like the business of Victoria and they're like, yep, still a public holiday. And then like 30 comments down, this person goes, it's not too late to delete this post.
You can still back out.
Oh, man.
I
so
like,
good.
I now don't watch reels. I just read real comments.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've found myself in comment sections lately.
This is not something I've ever done.
Just don't read the YouTube ones, Instagram. Especially ours.
Instagram now is getting toxic.
Really?
Yeah.
It's taken on TikTok culture and like
It's the old Facebook culture.
Why do I feel so behind? I'm not aware of this.
Because you're probably just
doing shit.
Yeah. You actually follow the rules of create more content than you consume.
Yeah. Every now and then, though, I'm just like, fuck, this is so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comments about what?
Anything.
Yeah, it's
anything.
The broad
question. So do you read the comments on that Mustang video I sent you?
No.
So that guy wins marketing of the year.
Oh,
that's amazing. So funny.
Yeah. Incredible. So for context, this guy basically recorded a video selling a Mustang to the opening line is, are you divorced?
Yeah.
Are you over 40 divorced
yeah.
and looking for a new car? And then did a full, like, it's hard top so your bald head won't get sunburned.
Yeah.
And like your dodgy knee won't hurt because it's auto and shit. It was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, because you used to be good at footy.
Yeah.
So true.
And it was like.
And then all of those men. Yeah. All of the Gregs
were so upset.
Just got so, they're like, this is terrible. And he was like, well, we don't think so. Like, we sold the car. And like, they were sassy replying back from the business page.
It was a perfect lesson in like, if you're not willing to upset some people, no one will love you. Because it was just straight down the middle. Everyone was like, this is the best. And I want to buy this car just because of this ad. Or, oh my God, that's so like offensive.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It's because middle-aged men have never had the right to be offended about anything.
Yeah.
They're like, what is this?
It's our time. It's our time.
Yes. Yes. I can be a victim now.
Yeah. Give me another 8 years and I'll be like.
Both of my knees hurt.
Yeah.
It's not just one.
Yeah. I felt seen. Because I was like, oh yeah, hard top for my head. I like it.
Yeah. Because it was like when you're taking like your sneaky link or like whatever, like the miso, the side miso and your bald patch and blah. I was like, oh,
it's great.
Yep.
Very, very good.
Not one comment related to me. I still wanted the car.
Yeah. And then there was
yellow though. Yeah. So
I would have taken it.
One of the comments was, I dropped my Subaru WRX off there last week.
I saw
that. I can't wait for this video of that car. Yeah, I can't wait either. I want to follow them, even though they're in like Townsville or something, just to see the review because that one will be savage too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because it's kind of the same demographic at this point.
Maybe just a bit younger.
Buying an old WRX, like us, maybe. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. okay. Topics. I don't have a good segue.
Increasing your IQ by being prepared.
I am prepared. Actually.
He's increasing it at the moment as we're on.
It's actually loading.
I wrote them down. and I didn't even write this one down. I'm just going to hand it over to our guest.
Statement.
Oh.
Who messaged me a really interesting question last week that Jace has not been prepared for at all. So I'm just going to get you to ask him.
Oh, Jesus. Why don't you throw me under the bus?
Because you don't have the IQ point.
And I'm not going to make it again just I'm savage. Like I did on the...
offend people.
No. Whatever you feel comfortable with.
My question, and I'm probably paraphrasing myself, was what are... I specified female, but it's probably both female and male. What are business coaches actually selling? Because there was like a bit of context. I was like, it feels like, and I'm probably going to get canceled for this. It feels like a somewhat pyramid scheme in terms of like, I'm selling, and this isn't all business coaches, but it's like, I'm going to teach you how to make a successful business. But the only business that I have is telling people how to create a successful business.
Yeah.
And then it's like they sell that to other coaches.
Yeah, who then
sell it to other coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was just kind of like, what's the product?
The best part was like, who's the client?
Yeah, I was like, where's the...
It's a really fair question.
Who are we selling to?
Yeah. And that's been the big red flag for us is looking... not when we look at people who we would want to be mentored by, because there's obviously levels now, we wouldn't want someone who only does the telling people what to do as their main service, unless they had a business and sold it for a lot of money.
Yes.
So if you're such a good business coach, why wouldn't you have a business already that's doing the things that you said you tell other people to do? And that's
that you've been able to put under management because you're actually good at all the stuff you say you're good at, like systems and
you scaled it enough to step away and other people are operating it for you. Amazing.
You have something that is sellable. Your business is in a position that it's sellable, whether you sell it or not.
Yeah. And that's been like, if you look at the timeline of some quote unquote business coaches, it's like personal training got too hard and they didn't know what to do next. So then telling other people how they got busy is the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they ditch the personal training part and then just do that. And then it's like, well...
And the price point's higher.
Well, I was going to say, I also think that the thing is, it's like, okay, say if they were in the... It can be any industry, but if they were in like the fitness industry and they were making X amount and then they started to go into business coaching and then they're like, oh, I started making all this money. It's because, well, now you're not coaching Gen Pop anymore. You're coaching other coaches and now you're selling coaching for $3,000.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Based off no one valuing it at $3,000. I think we're kind of getting into this... mindset of like, just because someone paid it means that that is what it's worth.
Yeah.
And I mean, the client at the end of the day will be able to tell that person like what it's worth, right?
Yeah.
But I also think that people get in this like personal development, professional development like addiction where it's like, oh, I'm investing all of this money in coaching. It's like, well, show me what happened as a result of that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the language. Yeah, that's the trap of it because people advertise it as investing in themselves.
I don't know why. Blah, blah, blah,
blah. Yeah, and a lot of people are buying the persona and the image of other people thinking that they're going to get that.
Yeah.
So like they like the energy and the vibe that this said person has.
Yeah.
So they think purchasing whatever product it is going to get them that, and that's not necessarily what they're going to get.
Yeah.
They're just going to get that person's company for a period of time that they've paid for.
I think that, like, this isn't even, like, an attack. The reason I think this is an important point of discussion is because, like, trainers see these numbers on Instagram of, like, you know, I had a 30K day and blah, blah, blah.
Which is
like,
multiplied by the minimum term and the lifetime value of the client. So it's not a 30K day, but yeah.
And I think it's a very slippery slope into, like, self-comparison, right? It's like, oh, well, I'm seeing all of these business coaches and they're teaching other coaches how to be business coaches. And it's just like, are we even helping anyone anymore to start off with?
Yeah.
But second, it's like, I think we just need to look at it through an accurate lens as well. So it's not to try and tear those people down. If you are doing what you say you are doing, then my comments will mean nothing to you.
Yeah.
But I know that a lot of PTs will probably look at all of these people and be like, I'm not doing well enough. Or maybe I should pay them and they'll be able to teach me how to run my business. And it's like, well, they might be able to teach you how to be a business coach, but I don't know if they'll be able to teach you how to like run a business.
But like, and we spoke about like what Jay said in terms of how they come up with that figure and they're like, oh, I didn't even like know that's how they do it.
Correct.
We spoke about a trainer in particular that like that was local that advertised was their business coach was marketing them as a success story and then he was obviously like, yeah, it was super successful and like did $35,000 worth of personal training sales this week.
Yeah.
And then 2 months later started at Good Life.
Yeah.
And it's like
if
you had $35,000 on tap training out of your garage at home and your home setup,
you wouldn't start paying rent elsewhere.
You're not going to pay Good Life $15,000 a year to get access to their leads. You'd be opening your own facility.
Yeah.
So the way they calculate number, that number is like Jay said, it's like work out. I don't even think it's average client lifetime value. I think it's projected what I hope they stay for.
Oh, yeah. That's even
worse. Well, because you can never guarantee it anyway.
Well,
like,
if you're going to, the smartest way to do that would just be to multiply the minimum term because you can at least say that you guaranteed that.
Yeah, but I don't think people do that because the numbers are pretty
extreme. They're huge.
Looking at like you're recording this video telling me in your mum's bedroom, like how did you make $50,000?
Yeah.
Like that doesn't quite.
It doesn't add up.
Add up.
Yeah.
Well, maybe, I'm not saying they're lying, but just from external view, I'm like, yeah. But essentially what they do is they arbitrarily decide what a client's worth. Whether that's actually based on data or not, not sure. And then they just project that out. So it's like if you're a personal trainer and you work in a gym and you have a really good week and you put on 5 clients, average client does 1.5 sessions a week and your average price point's like $90 a session. So what's that? $145 times 5 is help. That's $600 a week.
Help.
I think it's just under $700.
Yeah. So you can say I had a $7,000 $8,000 week. off the back of that, which is amazing. The likelihood of that person staying outside of their 12 weeks is actually probably pretty high for most people, like average retention, 6. If you're experienced and you're good, it's probably 12 months. So then you can be like, oh, but most of my clients stay for 12 months.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden it's like, well, that 50 is times 52 weeks. So it's like, oh, now I had a $25,000 week. That sounds really sexy and I can put that on the internet. Then you take your price point from on average $140 to whatever the coaching package is, which is 10 grand or whatever.
Yeah.
I made 3 sales today that I've been working on for a month. So now I've done this exponential sale, but I still have to go provide the service and I can't do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because I'm still capped.
Yeah.
It's also important to consider, we mentioned earlier in terms of business, like to sell a business, you're only worth what your consistent debits are.
Mm. Yeah.
And for how long that is. So someone walks in, like an actual business person walks into a gym.
Yeah.
They eradicate your paid infuls.
Yeah. And all of the equipment that's over 5 years old.
Yeah.
It's worth nothing.
All we're interested in is how many people do you have paying every single week?
Yeah.
And how long are they contracted for?
And what's the trend been over the last 3 years?
And that's what your business is worth.
Yeah.
So putting this arbitrary, I made this, cool, but it's not worth anything. Yeah. No one else believes your business is a, like the $1 million business coach thing. It's gone from 6 figures to million lately.
Apparently. Fucking every second person's making 7 figures.
Yeah.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lie.
It's apparently a thing.
It's a lie.
That's an
absolute lie.
Yeah, threw me off. So now it's like, well, no. You just selling $1 million worth of shit, let's say that you actually did, doesn't make your business worth $1 million.
Yeah.
Mm. Having $1 million in predictable, repeatable revenue, now it might be worth $1 million.
Yeah. I also think with the, putting a number on a day, right? As a consumer, it feels like, oh, I got paid $30,000 for 8 hours of work. And it's like, no.
Yeah.
Like if you have, say, been working on a course or something for 3 months, and then you sell 3 spots into it and you made $30,000 or whatever, however much, $3,000, call it a $1,000 course. You've made $3,000 over 3 months.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a lot.
Yeah.
But people don't see the like, oh, I worked on it for all of this time. Like if I've developed a course or whatever and I sell it, I'm like, well, I'm probably running at a loss to be fair because I put 3 months of work into this kind of thing. But so like when people are seeing that, it's like this is not time for money anymore that we're talking about.
So what also happens and where there's probably a big disconnect is like if you've never invested in marketing, so 99% of personal trainers, maybe they've hit the boost button and like thrown $5 of shit, like, but they haven't really gone out and done a deliberate paid ad strategy. When you do that, you start to look on actual client lifetime value because it's a really important metric. So we've got a campaign starting on Fit for the first time. We've never really spent on that side of the business. And it's like we sat here last week and went, right, this is when we get this many trials, we get this many conversions. When we get the conversions, they stay for this long. And when we pay all our Apple fees, and we pay this, this is how much is left over. So if we spend this, this is what we need to get on the back end.
Yeah.
And we need to know if we're going to do it, that's going to come back to us.
Yeah.
And then it's like if it's a multiple of 2, 3, 4, 5, next time that's when we go, all right, turn that dial up.
Yeah.
We actually did it last quarter. The end of this quarter, I did a review and we'd stopped some spend on this side of the business and just watched the metrics just tail down consistently on the other side of it. Mm. We're like, fuck. We were spending $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
And it was on the back end costing us $6,000 a month by not having it.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
We were like, go back and spend $1,000.
Yeah.
So it looks expensive to spend the $1,000, but if the revenue's up 6x, it's an absolute no brainer to do that.
Yeah.
So then I know we're not, for myself, we stand out. If I have, say, for example, put through 10 sales, well, it's like, okay, that equals this amount of money. I think the price is on the website now. So it's like, that's 50K in sales. Because I'm thinking we spent our trip to Queensland, the expo fee, like the marketing, whatever it is, I'm looking and going, cool, so we made this on the back end and this is what we spent to accrue that. That is either in a positive or it's in a negative.
Yep.
So when you're a business coach and you're starting to learn all these things and do all that sort of stuff, you do, like, to play devil's advocate, you do have the thought of that equals this much revenue. Mm.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we still have to run, like you said, all the courses and all of that. For us, to being in a group situation, it's kind of a bit different because it feels like you're just showing up anyway.
Yeah.
And like the course has been done, still modified. So we're just like, oh, I've got to be there on Tuesday.
But that's also taken into consideration in the course design, right? You're like, okay, this is going to cost X amount and it's not going to cost us any more to have more people. And like, that's a choice.
Correct. Yeah. So that, like, those things all play in. And I don't think, like, I think it's just really disingenuous to lie about it. And then I also think the reason we don't post about it and be like, I've actually got a campaign that I'm going to do on, like, deliberately satire on the other side and be like, this is the campaign we ran to make $50,000. Mm. And actually explain the concept that I'm going to now, which is our price point is 5x what most personal trainers' minimum term is. So divide your business coach's win by 5 because that's your minimum term value per sale. So that already, like you said, that comparison is like, oh, fuck, okay.
Yeah.
The minimum term is also...
Yeah, if they made 30 grand, I only have to make whatever, like $600 or 6,000. So that's one. Then it's like, well, how did you accrue that? And it's like you said, maybe 3 months went into a marketing campaign that took time, that took creation, that then took spend. I think the best one I've seen is like $1 million of potential revenue generated.
Oh.
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
Put that living on hopes, living on hopes and
dreams.
Yeah,
it was just like every opt-in on a Facebook ad, calculate how much their lifetime value could be if they bought your premium product and just paid in full.
Let's just multiply every time someone visits the website by our premium price point then.
Every time,
where do you fucking stop?
Like, every time I get a story view, multiply that by the fact
could be a client.
Yeah. At the end of the day, the only things that matters, we have what we call a God document. It has every outgoing, every income stream on it. And there's a little box up in the corner that says revenue, profit, profit for distribution.
Yeah.
Those numbers are the only ones that matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what you did on a day is fucking irrelevant.
Yeah. The money's going to land.
Yeah. And there's a lot of personal trainers actually doing far better than the business coaches that are paying... that are promoting that and thinking like, fuck, I'm failing. It's like, bro, you're making $3,000 a week.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Like, what was the stat I sent you? The average
person that makes over around 100K, I think it was
55 hours a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you're a personal trainer doing 30 hours.
Yeah. It's 100K is easy.
Taking 150, like, fuck, man. You're doing really, really well.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Jay said, in terms of what I would advise other people to do and for myself, like I've had my eyes open for a mentor for about 6 months, maybe longer, but it's like I cannot find someone that ticks all the boxes.
Yeah.
It's like either have sold up or still continue to run a business. For me, it's like married, successful marriage and family.
It's going to be a real tough pool now.
There's everyone in fitness gone. and still running some kind of business that's not just coaching.
Mm. Yeah.
And their business is over seven figures.
Yeah.
And it's like, I cannot find that anywhere.
Yeah.
So it's the whole idea of like what Jay said, often people are buying the persona, the lifestyle,
the energy of that
charisma.
That's it.
Yeah, usually they're good looking.
It's appeal, you know, and that's why they lean into it. It's probably why we fail miserably at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Because we
sell a product.
Yeah, I don't wear a fucking suit that's hired and stand in front of a car that I don't own.
Yeah,
well, that's
market
the thing, right?
The shit that I can't afford just to sound successful, you know?
Yeah, so it's making sure that the person that you're paying has done the thing you want to do.
Correct.
Yeah, they have to have what you want.
What you want.
Yeah.
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 And a lot of that is like, for me anyway, is like values driven as well.
Mm.
It's like, I don't want someone who's constantly showing me how... I want people to still be able to be like, I did this thing or I bought this thing and it's making me really like happy or whatever, or I worked really hard, blah, blah, blah. But I think that can't be like your entire story.
Yeah.
Like there has to be a bit more like depth or like integrity or that kind of thing. And so it's like, if all like the bells and whistles and stuff is what draws you in to want to work with someone,
mm.
probably need to ask yourself, like, why that is. Like, why is that the thing that you yeah. want?
It's like, do you want to look successful or be successful?
Yeah. And yep. I think these conversations is not, yeah, to kind of, like, call anyone out or do anything. I think it's just to provide, like, context for, like, the social media consumers, especially, like, trainers and stuff as well.
Yeah.
To be like, as you said, like, you don't know that car's theirs. And it's not to get super cynical either, to be like, everyone's a liar, because like, yeah. maybe they're not.
Yeah.
But I think the most important point is that you'll never know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They still, I think no matter what, every person who's mentoring someone should have what the person wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they want a business, that person's business, they should have a business too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if they were good at it, like, that's the only thing I would say for anyone looking for some help. It's like, if you were good at whatever you said you were, what you're telling other people to do, then you would have that.
Yeah.
So you got to have a business. You can't, it can't be coaching business, correct. Like telling mentoring. It's like, that's not, that doesn't count.
That's not a,
it's not a scalable, that's, yeah. It's like, you know, you just woke up one day and went, I'm just going to tell people what to do because I didn't want to do it myself. Like, it's weird.
Yeah.
That's the thing from like
or I wasn't willing to do it for the return. That is online
yeah,
coaching.
So now I'm going
to
tell other people.
A week, so I'm going to do it at $200 a week.
Yeah.
As a business coach.
So I think that's
yeah.
the biggest thing if people are. If you're trying to eliminate like who's a person that maybe I should look towards and maybe not, it's that's the biggest one in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think from like the personal trainer point of view as well, I see a lot with like the business or the money mindset or that kind of thing. It's like coaching someone in this realm is not just telling them to put their prices up. Because I think sometimes people
get that all the time. Every time we present somewhere, they're like, it's so refreshing to not just have a business coach come in and say, all of you put your prices up. So it's not fucking based on what? That's not business coaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially trainers like first starting out, right? It's like, no, you have to know your value. If you are brand new to the industry, you can't be charging a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have to be confident in whatever you charge too and that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to build that value and that confidence together to go, yep, cool, it's this much.
Yeah.
And some people get stuck where they've been in the industry a little bit and then they don't want to, you know, increase their prices, and that's a different story.
Yeah, it's hard because that's, I think, for a business coach, that's where it gets stuck because you can say like, I improved this person's income by 2X or by 50% in a week.
Yeah.
It's like, because you just put their prices up because they were in the game for 2 years. They hadn't put it up. They just needed someone to give them permission and hold their hand and be like, it's okay. No one's going to leave.
Yeah.
Put your price up by $10 because you're way too cheap.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, that's all I have to do. I just made this person $20 across 40 clients. It's a substantial amount of increase.
And that's because, so this is a manifestation of like the gap that, like people are aware of now. Like we obviously identified that gap ages ago because we were personal trainers.
Mm.
So we're like, I knew nothing about business.
Mm.
Zero.
Yeah.
So it was money in a shoebox. Fucking, I was lucky someone told me to do direct debit.
Yeah.
So it was just no business awareness. And then Ben had a little bit more than me. And then
but
we kind of-
still not much.
But there was enough for us to become aware. And we had some pretty good mentors along the way, like who were our PT managers at the time that kind of helped us.
Yeah.
So then we were like, cool, well, we need to set this up and fill this gap.
Yeah.
So- The reality of it is it's not hard to learn surface level business.
Yeah.
Where it's like the generic, put your prices up, make sure you're on direct debit so there's repeated payments.
Post about your target market.
Yeah. To identify your target. Like
engage with people online.
That stuff is surface level shit. So it is easy for someone to come in and tell people how to do that. I would argue that that has an expiry date. And then after that, like they can't take that person to the next level.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of people getting around just like, have you, like when you write your content, do you think about a specific person? Like, you know, basic level finances and reading profit loss sheets and blah, blah, blah. Like, that stuff's not hard.
Mm.
And that's why there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But most of those people, so then add the filter. So it's like, how do I filter out the good and the bad? The best ones, I would argue, have either sold a business or still have an external business to whatever that is that they're teaching.
Yeah.
It's the easiest way to filter that shit.
Yeah, that's further along than yours.
Yeah, yeah. Or you just do the surface level stuff, and then just move to someone else that,
yeah,
you know, takes you to another level.
Yeah. Do you think that like this?
Bless you.
Excuse me.
Hopefully,
Tam put that in.
We just have wide shots now. It's permanent.
Just sneezes
Oh, yeah, true.
Yeah.
Do you think this kind of like money messaging in terms of, you know, I made X amount or anything like that is making new PTs impatient?
Oh, well, I think social media is making new
yeah.
new or inexperienced coaches impatient, because Ben and I have always spoken about the fact that, like, you know, it was probably a bit of a blessing that we couldn't see what other people were doing when we were younger, because we were just in the gym doing shit, and, you know, no one really ever shared what was happening. Like, you know, I think I've said it a million times. I was just like, what? Instagram's for photos? It's fucking stupid.
Dumb idea.
So then, yeah, we're... If we use the training analogy as the best example, you look at someone who's got, you know, exceptional levels of muscle mass, strength, looks, but you don't see the 10 to 12 years of work done. You're just like, well, why don't I look like that after 6 months, 18 months? And it's like, well, you're looking at someone who's, you know, 30 years old, who's been training since 18.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a manifestation of work. And they're doing the same thing now. They look at Ben and myself, and it's like, you know, family, cars, holidays, you know, houses and lifestyle, you know, because we don't have to go to the gym. And they're just like, well, why don't I have that right now? And it's like, well, we were boots on the ground for 10 years in the gym. And it's not to say that you have to do boots on the ground for 10 years in the gym, but you got to do some fucking time.
Correct.
Like all of it is like, even if you took all of our experience and knowledge, you may get, what, 50% of that? But they're not even willing to do that.
Yeah.
You know, because they're just like, well, I just want it now. Because I can see it sounds good. Yeah. It looks good, you know. And then obviously you've got people who lean into that as well. Like, I don't really lean into, I don't have an alarm and I have a nice house and I have this and I can buy whatever the fuck I want. Like, I don't lean into that shit at all. It's just like, what do you need to do to be the best personal trainer you can, and what do you need to do to make the best business that you want out of it?
Yeah,
and there's definitely stuff too that, like, we look at and you're like, it's probably holding us back.
Oh, no, it definitely is. Not and dropping. It's morally.
Yeah, we spoke about this really thing. We were like, this fucking integrity bullshit.
It's really so hard to just, like, sometimes I'm just like, fuck, man, why don't I just show it off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I could do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's just like.
Why don't you?
Because it's just not a representation of what you need to do.
Yeah, correct.
Like, you just need to do the fucking work.
Yeah. It's not, like, actually going to benefit someone else's life knowing what you have.
No, not at all.
It's not going to give them any.
Yeah, you just need to do.
And then you'll attract the wrong person too.
Yeah, right? Well, the other thing as well is that it's like, I don't want to work with that type of person. Yeah. It's not for me.
Yeah.
Like, we don't connect.
Process versus outcome.
Yeah. And look, the other thing as well is obviously, like, growing up, Ben and I had a similar upbringing and it was not, like, we didn't have much.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can go now and be that person and go, yeah, look at me. Yeah. But I can show someone, we can show someone who, you can go from here to here.
Yeah.
No problem if you want to put the work in.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk about it. People know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. People see the like, and it's not a flex. It's just like, I'm out with my wife. It's like, fuck, that's a nice, wherever you are. Or it's like 10 a.m. on a Monday.
I was going to say, that's a nice Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, it's like those type of things that people notice anyway. And you don't need to be like, you can fucking work from a cafe in Paris whenever you want
to. You don't have to put,
like,
a call to action on the next slide.
No, yeah.
Yeah, it's also like just mixed messaging. Like, I saw one the other day. It was like, are you trading time for money as a personal trainer? It's like, yeah, that's every personal trainer.
Yeah.
I still trade time for money.
Yeah.
And I'm an online coach.
It doesn't happen without me. Yeah.
It's like everyone is. Yeah. So I just can't stand. I don't want to fall into the umbrella of it, like, that charlatan. So I never want to speak that way.
Good word.
And I never want to be even thought of in the same kind of sentence as someone like that.
Yeah. And I think because we started out, like, Jace's term was perfect. It's like, what's the gap? Like, we saw personal trainers that were failing. And we were like, this is what they need to not fail. And that's how what is now Standout PT started in 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a problem here that we can fix. And then we continue to get feedback from clients, consults, social media of what the problems are. And that's how we build the thing.
Yeah.
It's not like, how do I monetize this the best way possible?
Yeah.
How do I solve these problems that these people have? And that's why you still have that integrity.
Yeah, like, which...
It. And three businesses and a full booked coaching list.
A gym coming.
Yeah, no alarm in the morning, spendable income, nice cars, holidays. Oh, sorry.
No, Jason.
I feel like this side of like business coaching, what you're talking about, these people, it's like we're going back through on the fitness side. It's like people calling things toned or like toning up, like that simplification of language. It's your 12-week challenge coach.
It's the 12-week challenge.
It's the 12-week challenge coach.
Yeah.
Not running them well. Like that coach in the business world.
Yeah. And it's you promote the two outcomes you got and then attract the next 10.
Yeah. And I think like being... I'm like so new into the mentoring and consulting world. Like it's been it's been 18 months being on this side, but going into my 10th year in the industry now, like seeing right through it from where I'm at now. Cause like I absolutely have been that person that's compared myself to people online.
Yeah.
Like my thing was watching a acquaintance go through like challenges as a client and then go into being an online coach and charging $10 more per week than I did.
Mm.
Yeah.
From like going through that.
Yeah.
Now doing mentoring.
Yeah.
And so even still now, like I look at that and I'm like, I twitch.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, okay, like people are still doing that. But then conversations like this that like grounds you and brings you back down to earth to be like, okay, cool. Like what really matters here? The revenue, what you're sitting on, like the integrity, everything behind you, the lifestyle, not having to have my kid in childcare, like all of those things that aren't gloated on. But yeah, these conversations like still open up my eyes despite being in it.
Maybe I just don't post mine because it's not sexy anymore.
I think
thinking about it the other day, I was like,
normal.
I used to be able to like flex my Merc and now I flex that my wife doesn't work.
It's still
like,
a flex.
But it's also, you know what I mean? It's like,
but it's also just normal.
27-year-olds. 25-year-old me then didn't give a fuck about that. I was like, show me the nice car.
Yeah.
I think like the reason that I feel so like passionately about this topic itself in terms of like social media and what is out there and that kind of thing is that I know that like anyone, whether it's new personal trainer or anyone like just starting to try to be whatever they define as successful, they get to like 4, 5, 6 months and they're like disappointed because they thought it would be easier.
Yeah.
And it's like, and then they stop. Yeah. And it's just, you can't, no one wants to work hard anymore. And it's like, we're getting this messaging, you know, about, you know, the putting the prices up and stuff like that. It's like, you have to make yourself valuable and worth that price first, which takes time. And takes, you know, maybe training people for free at the start, training your friends, like going to workshops, like all of that stuff. Like everyone's just in a huge rush because we're told that it can be done quickly.
Yeah.
And like the message, even in my corporate job, it's like everyone spends more time running away from work or spending time trying to figure out how to do it 20% faster. That if you just stopped spending that time trying to shortcut it, you'd be fucking further along.
Yeah, you'd probably be finished.
Yeah.
It's like the like, I don't know if you had like high school jobs, but like mine was in Coles. It's like I used to work with guys that just tried to look busy the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you know, it's actually easy to just fucking do the work. Do it.
Yeah, you don't have to look at your clock every fucking half an hour.
And then
you're doing shit.
After 3 months of doing that, or maybe 6 months of doing that, like my boss just stopped looking.
Yeah.
And he was just like, Ben always does work. And
he
has a faster rate, like a cage rate.
Yeah.
Had a faster cage rate than everyone else. It's like, cool. So I can just fuck off for half an hour when I'm only supposed to have 10 minutes. No one cares.
Yeah.
The work's getting done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same. And it, like what you were explaining there, like that 12-week challenge cycle of fat loss fast. And that's exactly the same human behavior. But it's amplified because you have, like Jay said, so much more access to other people doing it.
Yeah.
It's tough. You're like, I should have that now.
Yeah. And you're referencing no difference to the way we look at athletic properties and characteristics of people. You're referencing the 1%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not even. So you're looking at like
0.01. Yeah.
Everyone's looking at lifestyles of coaches, and then they're like not understanding that 99.9 out of 100 aren't living that lifestyle or haven't done it in the time frame.
Yeah.
You know, it's like me saying so if I coach 100 people, so even if I look at my clients or like 30, there's two of them in 12 weeks could look like a fucking superhero.
Mm.
2 out of 30. The other 28 need more time. But if I go and sit there and sell, you know, 12 weeks a superhero,
yeah,
and I've got two people to prove it, everyone's going to be like, well, why aren't I? Yeah. Why don't I look like a superhero in 12 weeks?
Yeah.
Mm. Yep.
I think another thing that I've become really, and it's hard, man, because I'm picturing myself listening to this at 25 and I'm like, no, I just fucking want it now.
Yeah.
But like,
I'll do anything.
Yeah. I think I said to you, like, something I'm working on now is outside fitness. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, I was going through a lot of like, who the fuck am I to like go tell someone else in some other industry how to do anything? Mm. And we felt it when we first got into the gyms. It was just like every new barrier is just like, I haven't fucking done this before. Who am I?
Yeah.
But I was able to justify it to myself and give myself the stack of proof to be like, well, 10 years of running a personal training business and consistently evolving what that personal training business looked like for 10 years is my university degree. It is my track record. It is my stack of proof. And I think I wish I could, and I, like I said, if I'm talking to myself at 25, I don't know if I would take this on. I'd never had anyone say it to me, but just like every obstacle you overcome is a skill that you now have to apply later.
Correct. Yeah.
What that looks like, everyone's dream is to open the facility. It's like, well, the only reason we don't have a gym is because we don't want to vacuum the fucking floors.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge liability.
So it's like we've learnt, okay, how do we get to that stage and not be the toilet cleaner, but still have a facility?
Yeah.
And we're working towards that. And it
takes more time to do it that way.
Yeah.
Hire Jess.
So it's like, what lessons do we need to...
I'll put your name on the toilet cleaner. Right? Yeah. Your special one.
Yeah, roles and responsibilities.
Gym manager.
What lessons are you learning along the way? Or if you fast track it and skip it, what did you miss?
Yeah. I also think like the... we always focus on the thing that we think that we want, or, you know, the goal, the facility or whatever. And an important question that most people miss is, am I willing to pay the price that it takes to get there?
The downside.
Mm. Because it's like, you can see people on Instagram and they're posting, you know, the living by the beach or whatever. Like, I get it a lot. Like, as in, oh, like, living in the Gold Coast must be so much fun. And, you know, I just moved into a new place and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I also try to accurately articulate, like, I don't do anything through the week except work and train.
Mm.
I work Saturdays. So it's like,
you do a really good job of portraying what your life looks like, though.
Yeah.
In all honesty, like, even if I didn't know you personally, it's like, that wouldn't take me by surprise. Like, you work really hard, long days.
Yeah.
And only train outside.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. And the thing is, it's not a flex. It's not like, oh, look at me, I'm working so hard, blah, blah, blah. What it is it's like, okay, if you say that you want the beachside apartment or, like, you know, the new car, whatever, it's like, are you willing to pay the price of working 60 to 70 hours a week?
Yeah.
Most people aren't, and that's cool. But then you have to accept that within yourself and go, all right, well, I'm not going to get that thing. That's fine. But you can't have both. You can't be sitting here and be like, I want the thing. I want the business. I want the 30K day or whatever. Because that 30K day might take you 2 years of figuring out how to make 30K in a day.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're not willing to pay the price, then you've got to set some new goals.
Yeah.
It's the person not wanting to stick to their macros and wanting to get lean. It's the same transferable shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's just like making sure that when you see the thing that you want on Instagram, maybe the person didn't tell you what it took to get there, but just try and like imagine it and be like, am I willing to do that? And if not, well, then maybe I should stop comparing myself to that outcome.
Yeah.
It also takes a certain amount of time to learn how to operate that way.
Correct.
Mm. Yeah. So like people have to work into it. Like a younger version of myself wouldn't be able to take this on.
Fuck no.
Yeah. Like there's just too much doubt. There would be too much worrying about what other people think. Yeah. I would be frozen in decision making because of that.
Yeah.
Everything would have to be perfect. So I just wouldn't be able to do it. So you've got 23-year-old kids who like are looking at us going, yeah, I'd love to learn and walk, talk and act and have a lifestyle like this. It's like, I wouldn't have been able to do this at your age, man. You know, like there's a bit of maturity that comes with, you know, just chipping away. And that's the time you can't give the person. You know, again, the training analogy is like the time that it takes to build the muscle mass. It's like you've got the effort, you've got the program, you've got the desire.
Yeah.
You don't have the physique yet because you just don't have the time to build it. It's like kind of as a business person, it takes, it's very similar, a very similar case.
That maturity comes from the obstacles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well.
Like yeah, absolutely.
Actually being able to face the thing.
The hits.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Quick break in the episode, guys. I just want to ask you one question. Are you running a business or are you working a job?
Running a business means thinking like a business owner, having systems that do all the grindy work for you, a service that's guaranteed to get your clients results, social media and referrals that are driving business to you, and getting leads that you always close. If instead you feel like you're lost, you're stuck, you're at the mercy of your clients, you're just working another job. If that's you, you need to check out Standout PT. It's our signature education program, a 26-week online course designed to take you from working a job to actually running a business. The average coach that goes through Standout PT and completes all the modules gets a 300% increase in revenue inside their business. We have weekly workshops, weekly Q&As, and over 30 units for you to go through, all with text and video to make sure you're totally covered for everything you need in your business. Just head to stcfit.com, navigate to the Standout PT page, and book yourself a free, no obligation discovery call and see if Standout PT is right for you. Back to the show.
I also feel like, just quickly, I know we're going to wrap up soon, but
never.
This whole like messaging about burnout, it's like, you only know when you're going to burn out.
This isn't the podcast for that. No. No, as in we hate it.
But this whole, I think this is another Instagram thing as well. It's like, oh, you know, like nervous system regulation and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. You need to rest. But then like, I think we're scaring all these people away from working hard.
Yeah.
It's like, you need a couple burnouts to know where the fucking line is.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we spoke about this probably like a month or two ago. Yeah. So I had a chat with a guy who's helping us with some import-export stuff overseas. Yeah. And he's 22. And he goes to me, how do I know how hard I can push myself? I was like, brother, push as hard as you can.
Push until you can't.
Until you physically can't get out.
And he said, he's like, I'm worried about working too hard. And I'm like, you worry about that.
Once you've worked too hard.
Maybe once. Yeah. Like, you know where the boundaries are. Yeah. It's like, how do I know how much I can lift?
Yeah.
Lift as much as I can.
Yeah.
You know, so I feel we talked about this culture that comes with like, oh, this is going to happen. It's like, how do you fucking know?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's dependent on your desire. Like, and this kid's got like awesome motivations, like obligations, like to his family. It's like, he's providing for his family. I'm like, brother.
Yeah, you're fine.
Like, you're going to be running off like a totally different energy to someone who's got a silver spoon with mum and dad. Like, you know, it's leave whenever you want. Mm. Like, we'll help you. We'll give you money, this and that. It's like, you don't have that, man. So don't worry about listening to these people who,
correct,
you know, are telling you like about burnout, who probably did all of the shit that they're telling you not to do and then have gotten to a position to get there and then have forgotten or lost touch with what it took to get there. I don't want to tell you that because it wasn't sexy and go, oh, this is my morning routine and this is my this. And so it's like the younger generation.
Being tired's
not
burnout too.
Yeah. When if you, like, how is it burnout if you love it?
Yeah.
Or how is it burnout? Like, what if you have to put food on the table?
Yeah, that's so correct.
Who gives a fuck if you're burnt out, correct, man? No one's going to eat, bro.
Yeah. But I'm tired.
So
yeah.
I do my like...
Sorry, guys, no food tonight. I have to take the day off.
Every 4 weeks, I'm doing like this, like been a dad for this long.
Yeah.
So it's like it's due next week. So I just kind of chip away at notes throughout. And we did a workshop last year. And the whole first day was about learning to... His whole theory was basically goals are useless without obligation.
Mm.
So like actually finding that something that's strong enough to, for lack of a better term, like motivation sucks, goal settings, okay, and then
obligations
like the fucking thing. Most hyper successful people, the obligation comes from like a
pain,
underlying self-loathing.
Like chip,
it's fun.
A chip from somewhere.
Which is really useful. But I've been watching my wife and I'm like, my wife's ability to show up for LJ versus in her business and stuff that was like, I'm keen to do it, but not. Like, loves doing the thing, but didn't like the back end side of it.
Yeah,
completely different.
Yeah, it's like, we still eat. Like, if you don't go to work, we still eat. It's fine.
Yeah.
But there's never a 2 a.m. where it's just like, you know what? I'm burnt out. I don't want to deal with you.
Yeah.
And like, I'm sure, like, Parker stomps down at fucking 4 o'clock in the morning. There's no like, sorry, kid, I'm a bit burnt out today. It's like, no, I've got to fucking do the thing.
Yeah, and I still got to show up for a lot of stuff too.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff, especially in like the personal training world. It's like, it's not that fucking hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's why, like, before, you know how you guys are like, where you're at now, you wouldn't have been able to understand at 25 and the responsibilities you have now, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think that's why, and I don't use it, but I think that's why so many people throw the parent card at other people because they're like, oh, you just don't get it because it's like a different sense of responsibility and blah, blah, blah. Everyone's got their own in their own world and it's like completely different. But I don't think that, yeah, that sense of obligation, like even for me, like I've always loved coaching, always like coach full time, done that. If I still haven't reached burnout now, it's like, cool, what else, like in terms of work, I'm like, now I know I'm going to push like my online coaching like way more. But it's like, cool, if you can fit parenting, it's quite an obligation.
just I've heard it's not negotiable.
Can't really turn that one off.
Yeah. Yeah. Not at not 2.5 now. Like between that and then like coaching and then mentoring and then like, fuck it. Like we'll put a powerlifting prep in there. It's like, I got more time. Oh, we're going to do a fitness expo and we're going to go to the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
What else can we do? Like it's not until you do it and then you're like, okay, everything is fine. It's all going to be okay. What else?
Yeah. I think burnout really is just like a misalignment of either values or
yeah, they're probably goals. Just in it for the wrong. I would question your motivations. Like if you're a small business owner and you are experiencing like heavy amounts of burnouts, like you're either like in it for the wrong reason or you are kind of, there is cases of fucking it up.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just capping your potential because you think something may happen that may never come is a mindset that is not welcome in our business.
No.
Yeah.
So if you don't like the sound of this, then we're not really the people for you.
Yeah. It's also like with the, I think people label it burnout when they tell themselves this is too much. And it's like, I think you have to continue to hit that. I think I've said to people over the years, probably more than 10 times, like, I may have overcommitted here.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, we'll see if I sink or swim.
You can take more then.
And then you swim and you're like, oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're experiencing burnout or you're thinking like, this is too much for me, you then go and do it and find out.
Yeah, you're just seeing where the walls are at the moment and then you'll be able to push them out a tiny bit more.
You're going to benefit far more from the effort put in, whether it's in the outcome that you want or whether it's discovering what you're capable of that is then a transferable skill elsewhere. Yeah. Like you are always going to benefit more by trying to push that limit than you ever will be in a detriment by hitting your capacity.
Yeah, it's just training it up here five all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the
same. It's like if you've never really failed.
Correct, yeah.
Like if you've never pushed the AMRAP, you don't know.
Yep. Absolutely.
You don't know where it is.
You don't die.
Well, even your mindset, you just said like with all of those things and now you're like, oh, well, what else could we do? That only happens, that mindset shift, where it goes from like, this is too much to like, oh, I could probably do that.
Yeah.
That's where you don't get burnout anymore. Because it's like, what
And when you give a shit about it.
Yeah. When you care.
Well, what's that thing? Like a task will always take the length of time that you give it.
Yeah.
You only got 15 minutes to do it. You'll do it in 15 minutes. You got 5 hours, it takes 5 hours. Like that's been like my biggest lesson because putting more in front of you just means you get, having a child was the best thing for my efficiency. I sweat. I don't recommend it as a method of...
As a motivator?
No.
or just in general.
Don't rate it. Like, don't recommend that.
Don't
but, like,
the kids thing.
But yeah, I don't like... You really don't know what you're capable of until you have more things in your day to tick off because you've got no other fucking choice but to do it.
Just figure it out.
And if you fall over, you fall over. Like, it's like, oh, what if I get burnt out? It's like, that's not a death sentence.
People are more scared of that than they are of trying... to see if they fall.
Correct.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, if immerse yourself in a community where you see failure as a lesson and, you know, a way of developing, it's like I believe you'll exceed that other person, you know, exponentially.
Mm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, because you're just going to be able to absorb more. Yeah.
Can make a big change of direction in the topic.
Absolutely.
Because that was supposed to be half the time I thought that was. It was a very good conversation though. I enjoyed it. So the other thing that I had on my pre-prepared, because I'm 20 IQ points higher now because I'm prepared for the episode.
Proud of you.
We even gave you more time by talking to prepare even further.
Yeah, just like programming.
Yeah. Your brain is swelling out of the head right now.
Yeah, I'm so smart.
You're going to need new headphones soon.
So this other thing that I'm working on at the moment requires me, I think, to use LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have a LinkedIn account?
I do. You know I do.
Yeah.
But I've never used it.
Do you?
It looks like Facebook.
I think I do.
Yeah.
I
think everyone's answer is that. I think so. Do you use it for work?
I've got one for corporate, not as a coach.
Yeah, yeah. So
I saw your profile picture on the Canva.
Oh, like, what's this
one? Hey, yeah. I see everything that you're working on, bro.
Yeah,
Jace is, or the little J in the top right hand corner.
Overseeing eye of Canva. Yeah. You want to know what's going on with the business?
Yeah, everyone can see everyone's shit.
And he's got the pro, like, he's got the account, so I'm like, can't even just hide it somewhere.
I'm the fucking boss.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have to make it all my actual content somewhere else. So
I'm not judging you.
I've been.
A little bit, publicly.
Been sort of investigating like how to like do sales and marketing through LinkedIn basically because I don't want to change my Instagram profile because that obviously is required to run the current businesses that I and we have. So I think I'm also going to use Facebook because I've never made a personal training sale on Facebook. So I'm just going to use that as well.
Yeah.
But I listened to obviously like go to is like find a podcast of someone who's an expert in LinkedIn and let's find out what the go is.
Yep.
And the way she sort of explained it was LinkedIn is like going to a conference and then you meet the people and then you interact with the people and then your goal is to like share an idea that they deem interesting and then you can create a relationship.
Yeah.
And obviously in terms of like what LinkedIn's primary use is like being recognized, being headhunted, finding jobs, all that kind of stuff. Yep. More so than it is like for someone to go and try and sell something.
Yeah.
Mm.
So it was just really interesting the way she broke it down over an hour, which I'm not going to do, but just like the idea that go and find people who are in the space that you are interested in, inside the niche that you are interested in, and instead of trying to sell them something, present your ideas and see what people think.
Yeah.
And I was like...
It's so simple.
It just in my head, it was like the gears just went clunk.
Yeah.
Like, And then I was like, that's so we're old enough to not use Instagram. We're old people. So we used to actually put our content out through Facebook. And that's what Facebook used to be. Because you couldn't just have a piece of content go out to fucking 10,000 people.
Yeah.
You had to start a page. You had to invite all your friends. And your friends had to actually engage with it because it was good and comment on it. And then it would get shown to their friends. And maybe your page gets recommended to follow. And that's how you actually built your Lane Nortons and all of the OGs. That's how they built their presence. And a little bit through YouTube, of course, as well. But YouTube's kind of the same idea. It's like, I'm going to just put my ideas out. And then people that are interested in my ideas are going to engage with them. And the more people that are interested in the way I've presented, in the idea itself and the way I've presented it, that it's going to reach more people.
Yeah.
I think, looking at the space right now, I don't know if you guys are seeing it, but everyone's complaining about reach. My threads is just like Instagram reach, fucking this, Instagram reach that. Like I've got 10,000 followers and 400 people see my reels and blah, 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 blah. Everyone's like, Instagram's not pushing shit out. Personally, I think it's actually a behavior because Instagram has the Reels function. I went through mine the other day because I'm not on my phone as much because dad things. And I was like, there was posts from the three of you that I was liking from like 4 days ago. And I'm like,
yeah, I saw that.
Fuck, I'm like so, I look at like four stories and then I go to Reels. I don't even swipe my own timeline anymore.
Oh, really?
Because it's like,
yeah, I don't relate to that though.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look at my reels.
I never look at
the reels.
I don't
go into that wormhole. I only look at the people I follow.
Yeah. So, same. I think, obviously, based on the
engagement. Is that
the reels page?
Yeah.
Where you can just swipe
through. I never do that.
Yeah. I think the TikTok generation.
Never get there either.
Are just doing that. They're treating it this way. Enough people are doing that no one's liking our stuff anymore. Because people aren't actually scrolling through it. It's like I can go to a hyper curated thing about exactly what I want to know about right now, or I can, for me, go on my feed and see another fucking, there's 80 calories in an empty fucking chocolate egg. Like, fuck off. Talk to me about something else. So I think we've been lucky to have exposure inside Instagram for a period of time where you could walk into Instagram and deliberately, actively try and sell stuff. And it would work. If engagement is continuously trending down, and whether it's algorithm or whether it's just client behavior, that is starting to shift, I think. So what we were doing 5 years ago doesn't work now. In terms of just like, here's a thing, buy our stuff. Here's a thing, buy our stuff.
Yeah, absolutely not.
So what do we do?
So I'm thinking, if we look at the way every other social media platform is, you just have to present the best ideas and you have to do it with the intent of connecting with other people, not with the intent of selling a thing. And it's like, if I present enough good ideas and I have a product on the end of it, people will eventually buy the product.
Yeah.
Because I think people, like now, personal trainers will sit down and be like, all right, what do I need to post to get a client?
Yeah.
Not sit down and think, what do I think about periodization for hypertrophy? And I'm going to write a post about that. And then other people that are interested in like hypertrophy are going to interact with that. And then cool, over time, like you still have to do the sales element, the CTAs, the call to, like the thing at the bottom and all that sort of shit still needs to be in there.
Yeah.
But I think most PTs come from, and this is shown by the prolific fucking calorie swap thing that maybe people do. My clients don't give a shit.
Yeah, we don't train those type.
Yeah,
I just wonder if anyone does. Because every time...
Now, there are more people that are not like our clients than people that are like our clients.
Yes, but every time I do a consult that someone has an Instagram page with one of them a week, I'm like, how many leads do you get? Like, zero.
Yeah.
Never put on an online client. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So, this isn't working.
Yeah.
So,
I think people like those videos, but I don't think the people that like those videos are going to pay for
online coaching. Yeah.
Correct. Because that's where you see the pages that have the big followings and stuff.
With
clients. Yeah. Well, I'm like, how many people are buying your product?
Then? Yeah.
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 So, if then you flip that to, say, the Easter calorie swap thing, right? If you swap that to, this is what I think about managing training, nutrition, family, whatever, over the Easter period. And you create a piece of content and put it out there just like, this is what I think. I think that does way better than if I post calorie swaps, people will want to train with me.
Yeah.
Because you put no thought into that idea. You just grabbed it from somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So I wonder, if we need to, the hack, for lack of a better term, at the moment is just going back to, what ideas do I have? What do I think is really important? That I see problems other people have that I can solve with this thought.
Yeah.
I like it because I'm like 95% opinions.
Yeah.
I think if you have a client base as well, like you just lean into your mindset and thought process that you're curating through them as well.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which helps when you have a client base because that's what I do. I just talk in a way that I want the rest of my guys to think.
Yeah.
That's why I was just like, here's how to navigate Easter. Stick to your fucking diet if you're competing.
Yeah.
And if you're not, be a fucking grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Enjoy it or don't, but live with the consequences. Be done with it. And then all my clients are like, I know they're just going to sit there and go, cool.
Yeah.
This is how I think and this is how I behave. So I'm going to operate.
I think a lot of personal trainers are sitting down thinking about what I should post to get clients rather than going, this is what I'm talking about this week.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Like I have this...
The scarcity thing, right?
Because
it's like if I just put out ideas without specifically trying to get a client, what if I don't get any clients?
Yeah.
Or it's like if I'm going to unpack something that I feel strong about, what if someone comes for me?
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's like... What if
the idea is wrong?
Yeah, and that's appealing. Or what if someone challenges me because they disagree? It's like,
good.
Man,
yeah.
It's like you can't be friends with everybody.
Yeah.
Because you don't stand out anymore.
Yeah.
You're friend zoned across everyone on Facebook or Instagram or whatever.
So to give a bit of context, and this is something that I've been playing with. So where I was going with that is I think trainers think about cooler shit during the week than what they post.
Oh, absolutely.
For all the reasons you just said. So this week I had two of my clients. One is brand new. One of them's just competed and we're working on some stuff. That have like chronic repeat lower back pain. And I was like, they've both got massive glutes, tiny waist. I'm like, cool, you're going to have like control issues.
Yeah.
Like your hips and your torso are not communicating the way they should. And that's why you have lower back issues. I'm like, give them heaps of single leg work. Send me all your lower body training for the week. Let me have a look at it. And they were both perfect.
Mm.
One of them, I had to change a few extension things. And I was like, What has happened here?
Mm.
This is really interesting. Then the power lifter, we missed the deadlift at her comp and there was a huge breakdown in just her ability to control her lats. And I was like, so we already had in the back of our mind, lats need to be a big point of development for you to be able to stabilize in that position. And then I was like, when you do everything else, your lats aren't working. So you're shrugging and you're reaching when you RDL and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, so it's actually coming from a lack of trunk control because your lats are way weaker than your fucking insanely developed lower body. Mm. And then I was, yeah, the new client I put on, I was like, your biggest, for lack of a better term, she was comfortable with the explanations. Like, her weakness in her physique is her back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so it's no surprise that you can't stabilize heavy loads because you've got, that's a big part of your trunk stabilizer not working.
Mm.
So I could talk about that, or I could go lower back pain. I'm going to make a post about that so people want to come work with me.
Yeah.
What's more interesting is like, if you have lower back pain, have you thought about this, 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 and this? This is what I think.
Yeah.
Versus like,
yeah, or you, do you have big glutes and your back hurts?
You got a fat ass and a sore back.
Yeah.
From carrying around that dump truck.
Do I have a fucking solution here?
That's a good line. I don't mind that.
Yeah. So you still layer in,
but you're not making
the attractive headline and all that. But it's like, I could at the just as easily at the end of this week go, the problem that my clients have is they don't eat enough protein. Cool. Yeah. And that's what I'm going to put out because that's what 17 other personal trainers put out. And that's what sells online coaching versus like, hey, I've got this really novel concept for me that I've never really thought of, that a lot of lower back pain for these bikini-esque girls that have really developed lower bodies maybe have weak lats, and that's what part of the problem is.
Yeah.
Which one's more interesting?
Yeah. And if you make the post about back pain, like, my back hurts.
Yeah.
But I don't want to fucking listen to you talk about it if you're talking about having a fat ass dumpy. Yeah. So I'll say that. But if you just put the post about back pain, it's like you're going to get people like me reading your post, and it's like you don't want to coach people like me.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
I think another part of the problem. Important thing to note as well is like the people that you and I coach, which are on paper very similar, versus the people that Jason coach, people that we coach being mainly women. We, because I am the people that we coach, literally, we care about the journey. We care about the person. We care about the story.
Mm.
And that's what we want to know. So I'm going to read that because I'm like, oh, it's like me. Or like, there's more detail to it. We're yappers. We use more words than we need to. And we like reading stories. Your clients are like, all right, cool. He got that result by doing that. I want a bigger upper back. I'm going to do those fucking trugs. Like, chest supported on the incline. I saw those. They look cool. And it's like, cool. Obviously, understanding your audience and, like, the language it uses is most important. But I don't think one thing that will never go out of date on social media ever is being yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like, that, like, at the bottom line, because every personal trainer gets that fear of being themselves and showing up for themselves online, then they hate everyone they coach because they don't get along with them as a person. Mm. Like, despite all these trends and the algorithm and whatever, it's like, it's never, ever out of a trend. God, I sound like a mother. Like, it's never uncool to not be yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you have to show up as yourself regardless online. And like,
always on brand.
I'd say always a lot of people don't even branding. Know who that is.
Yeah. And that's,
sometimes.
That's a whole other conversation. Talked. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Just before we go there, so jumping on to Jace's, like, your girls want the story and they want this. 90% of people in the hypertrophy world will go, here's three exercises to build your back.
Yeah.
And it's boring as fucking batshit and everyone does it.
Yeah.
If Jace goes, got this idea about a chest-supported Smith machine shrug that carries over better than the dumbbells, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't have to be long. Like, I think you just posted it as like, I found this be fucking amazing for my back or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a thought that he's had during the week.
It's personalizing the idea.
It's like, this is an idea that I have that I think sharing with people would be useful.
Hmm.
Not how do I sell people personal training.
Based on this variation.
The people I train want bigger backs. So I'm going to talk about bigger backs.
Yeah.
I think an important distinction on that as well, it's just popped into my head, is that I think a lot of personal trainers avoid saying a certain thing because they don't want to be wrong.
Yeah, 100%.
And we get into this like, here's the three best exercises or whatever, which is very black and white. Either is the best or it's not, right? Can't really be incorrect with an idea.
Mm.
So it actually probably will encourage them to post because it's like, hey, I've been having this thought. It seems to be working well for my back, blah, blah, blah. Like, it'd be very hard to come at someone for that. To be like, you're wrong. It's like, well, I didn't really say
it's safe.
I was right.
Yeah.
It's working for me. So
yeah.
Well, I think you say it all the time, like even like with evidence-based and blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, if you can prove it and you've done it with all your clients, then it's a fact as well. Like anecdotal evidence is still evidence. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so I hope the take home isn't you have to write stories and express thoughts and write long form content and shit like that. The idea of what you're going to post, get it to come from theories, thoughts, ideas you have that help your client, not from how do I sell to my client.
Mm.
And that's where the distinguishing factor comes and where you can lean into being yourself and having your own opinion and having your own thoughts about the stuff and then putting that out and getting interaction.
Yeah.
Again, it's like now you're going to get the people that are also interested in the same shit as you. The way Jace thinks about training upper back is different to the way I think about training upper back. So the ideas is going to have a different. It's going to stand out from the all the other trainers who aren't confident enough to have original thought, that don't have original thought yet or won't share it. And they're like, fuck, Jace is like, I'm going to try that. And they go to the gym and they're like, fuck, got the best trap pump ever. And like, now I want to work with Jace.
Yeah.
Just it's the lens of what, yeah, the difference of creating a post based on trying to get a sale at some point down the line versus creating a post based on sharing some information you think is interesting and or valuable that will still help your client. And you can still post, like the heading can still be, got a sore back from carrying your dump truck, and then go into maybe it's your lats. You can still use all of those strategies, but where the idea comes from, I think, is important. And the intent needs to be to create a community of people that are interested in your ideas.
Yeah.
And then you will get sales because they're interested in your ideas and the way you do things. Being another generic coach posting another generic thing that everyone fucking talks about is why so many people are struggling to grow in an environment that's so much harder to grow than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah. Mic drop.
So we went everywhere then.
That was big.
Good luck wrapping that one.
That was sick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that intro is going to be fun.
I know.
I hope you enjoyed the intro at the start. You see how stressed I am about recording.
What the fuck did we just talk about?
10-minute intro.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to need 10 minutes to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I blacked out for a lot of that. I couldn't tell you what we fucking spoke about.
Yeah, that's okay.
We spent like 40 minutes on the Loz question about the pyramid scheme in business. That felt like 3 years ago.
Fuck. It's been nice working, guys.
Yeah. Hit the subscribe button.
Yep.
Share the episode. Don't screenshot it. Hit the share button because otherwise the screen goes black.
Yep.
All the details to find all of us are in the buttons. To work with all of us, just go to the website. There's also heaps of free shit on the website, both on fit for training and stuff, the sleep guide, muscle guide. And then there's the Value Compass is still available on the STC Learn thing. So just go stcfit.com. You'll find everything there. I think we're back over 1,000 subs.
Amazing.
Just, yeah, you dirty dogs. Who unsubscribed?
Yeah, well, they're not going to. We're not going to be following us. So
I promised forehead kisses for everyone that followed. We got a few followers.
Who's got time to unsubscribe from anything?
I reckon they got their kiss and fucked off.
Yeah, fucking dogs.
Yeah, it could have just been an old follower, but who knows?
Yeah.
I don't care. All right.
We don't want them.
Thanks for making the trip out, girls. And we will see you next week.
Bye.